I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning and got myself a gun. Mama
always said I'd be the chosen one. We've got good news. We've got a Speaker McCarthy, and we've reached a bipartisan budget agreement that we're ready to move to the full Congress. And I think it's a really important step forward, And it takes the threat of catastrophic default off the table, protects our hard-earned and historic economic recovery. And the agreement also represents a compromise, which means no one got everything they want.
Well, a compromise does mean you don't get everything you want. Ronald Reagan's attitude was, you get 70 to 80%, you take it, and then you come back for more. And it looks like many conservatives are not going along with McCarthy on this. We got a lot of this to break down for you. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, May 30, 2023. Reminding you, during the noon hour, we are live streaming. You can go to news. You can go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA, or go to rumble.com, enter Newstalk STL. That'll take you right to our live page, or you can later pull it up, watch, listen on a podcast via Rumble or the audio at larryconnorsusa.com. Very easy to find me. I do hope you had a great Memorial Day, and that is good news to an extent from President Biden as he came forward and said, Congressman McCarthy, House Speaker and I have reached a compromise. That was the president speaking. Let's hear from McCarthy directly.
And this is different than we've ever had before. We're actually going to spend less money this year than we spent last year. And your viewers have heard me give this analogy before. A debt limit is like the family having a credit card, but you've been charging it up every year and just keep lifting the limit. This year's different. We now say we're going to spend less. Now, unfortunately, I wasn't able to look at all what we spend our money on because the mandatory spending, Social Security, Medicare, that's all off to the side. So I can only look at about 15% of what we spend our money on. So what we did is, in elements like non-defense, that's going to go below 2022 levels. So that's a very positive.
That would be a positive, but there are a lot of other issues that exist inside. Let me put it to you this way in a comparison. There was a time when a lot of guys and women, I don't want to leave out the women, I'm going to be equal here, could open up the hood of the car and they could do some work on their car engine. They just reach in. I mean, it's kind of the car shade mechanic at that time. Get up under a tree, lift the hood and do some work, get it done. Nowadays, you open it up and wow, you don't have a computer knowledge and a computer hookup. You're not going to get anything and understand much out of that engine unless you're an expert or specifically trained. In this debt compromise, there are so many bits and pieces. It is not just cleanly here and cleanly there. They're interlocked and you move one piece. It's like moving something else on the board at the same time, or with your car, you fixed that, but you screwed this up. Let me let you hear, as it was described by Maria Bartiromo, Fox News Business, on exactly what kind of response they are already seeing, and I would call this a backlash.
Some Republicans, however, are already unhappy. Utah Senator Mike Lee tweeted this, punting at your opponent 1 yard line isn't a winning strategy. Kentucky's Rand Paul slamming the deal, tweeting, no real cuts to see here. Conservatives have been sold out once again. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham calling for more spending, writing, quote, I will use all powers available to me in the Senate to have amendment votes to undo this catastrophic for defense. I support raising the debt limit for 90 days to give us a chance to correct this disaster for defense.
For defense, because Graham's point is that we're not going to be keeping defense spending really going strong as we should while we've got China and others still to come. Now, let me share this with you from Governor DeSantis. He has said it is clear our country has been careening towards bankruptcy, and after this deal, our country will still be careening towards bankruptcy. And to say you can do a $4 trillion of increases the next year and a half, that's a massive amount of spending. I think we've gotten ourselves on a trajectory here, really, really, since March 2020. And that, of course, involves some of the COVID spending. He said the COVID spending totally reset the budget, and they're sticking with that. We're going to come to that issue in a moment with regarding some remarks by Congressman McCarthy on that. But here DeSantis is pointing out what we all know. There's a lot of money that got spent during COVID. We don't know where it went. We don't know if it's used properly. And in many cases, it probably was not used properly. And I'm not talking about individuals making their claims. There's a lot of fraud and waste inside of it. But where is all that money? Now, Congressman Chip Roy is one of those, as you heard Maria stating, is already waving the flag of caution.
There's going to be a block of us that are a no. And I hope that more Republicans will join with us and stand up. I would like to say that we should kill this. We should move forward. We should pass a short-term debt ceiling change. Let's not lift the debt. $4 trillion. Again, I want to repeat that for America. $4 trillion. We are going to have an uncapped, actually, debt ceiling that will equal $4 trillion that expires in a lame duck on January 1st, 2025. And for that, we do not get substantive policy reforms on any of the green tax subsidies, the corporate cronyism.
Yeah, that's another issue to be raised as well. I've been looking at some of the remarks and trying to see exactly where Trump stands on this. And quite honestly, I let you hear the remarks I quoted remarks from DeSantis, and I'm still checking to see if there's any new update on Trump and his remarks on the budget. Give me one second because there's something else coming across now. Let me double check this. I can't see that he's going to buy fully into it. And keep in mind, this is just, quote, a compromise between the House Speaker and his team and President Biden's team. They reached, quote, a compromise. It still has to go through passage in the House and the Senate. Now, I haven't seen anything really of substantial notice either from Schumer at this point. A lot of them are saying, look, we want to actually see it, which is understandable. Because it's not like Nancy Pelosi when she was talking about that omnibus bill that they were going to pass. Say, well, we won't really know what's in it until we pass it. No, no, there are 99 pages here compared to 900 pages on the other, and they're getting basically 72 hours to take a good look at it before they vote. That still doesn't mean that they want to jump to a conclusion. And in fact, Tennessee Senator Bill Hagerty, Republican, said, from what I've seen, what I've heard, I still have some doubts.
I'm deeply concerned about it. We've got a tremendous amount of difficulty in our system right now because of the massive spending that the Democrats have undertaken. That spending has put our economy into a very challenging situation, and we've got national security crises mounting all over the world. This needs to be a serious set of cuts. And what I know, it's better than the blank check that the Biden administration was asking for, but there's a lot more to be dug into. The House has got the bill right now. They're going to move through their process today with the Rules Committee, and then on Wednesday night after the markets close, my understanding is they'll vote on it. I'm going to be watching this very closely and talking with my colleagues.
I think a lot of us are going to be watching it very closely, and there may be still some tinkering. Now, here's the issue. If the Republican conservatives say this is not fitting our needs, and McCarthy, we're going to have to do some more things here, then the other side has also got to agree and go along with it. If you listen to both sides between Biden and McCarthy, it's the best deal we could strike at this point. It is a compromise we both have to give. That's what a compromise would mean. But too often, for the left, compromise means when they say meet us at the middle, when you get to the middle, they move back. They move the goalpost. No, you got to come a little farther over here. Pretty soon, you're no longer anywhere near a compromise. And I think that's what a lot of conservatives are looking at. And we've got a guest coming up later that's going to give us more detail on that. Joel Griffith, he's with the Heritage Economic. He's a policy expert. But let me turn our attention to something else before we wrap up this segment. Right now, we know it. We see it right in front of us, and it's just escalating. Woke is targeting babies, toddlers, and preschoolers.
Put a target on my back, put your target in your kids. They don't even need to ask, cause you all know what it is. Yeah, that's why I keep it strapped, and I'm always by my biz. If the agenda gotta stop, then you know we gonna win. When they target, target, yeah, they target in. Target, target.
That is a rap song that has suddenly hit really big across the nation because many are agreeing with that rap song, basically claiming and stating Target is targeting your kids. By putting LGBTQ merchandise right in front of your children when they walk in, and even on toddlers' outfits, toddlers and preschoolers, infants, rainbow pride, all this. Look, I have told you before, if that's your choice of life, that's you. That's fine. But anybody that's trying to push it into children that age, why? Why? The only answer is, grooming kids for the future, making it appear it's okay to have this lifestyle. It's going in the face of many Americans, and it's angering them. And this is not just a conservative Republican view. There are Democrats on the other side that have children, too, and they're concerned about their children. And right now, you've got Kohl's, Target. In fact, one of my often big-time supporters and listeners for some time sent me a note. Well, let me show you her note because I think it says pretty much everything, because she was taking note of this push for gay pride clothing on kids. Now, again, if you're an adult or you're 18 or even if you're 14, 15, if it's there and you want to wear, I don't really care, and it's not. But when you're targeting, why would you target babies, infants, toddlers, preschoolers? Why would you shove that on them? Unless you want to groom children for the future. She wrote, Diane wrote me, she said, better add Walmart, Etsy, eBay, Redbubble, Funky Fish Apparel, Tenu, J. Crew, The Children's Place, Old Navy, and Michaels. She said, we're going to get the place where we're going to have to go back to making our own clothing again. You may be right. Let me give you some of the background that's going on right now. The rapper you were listening to then, Jimmy Levy, he said, already, my song is being censored across the media. He said, it is the most censorship on a song I've ever witnessed in my life. They're literally hiding the song from the search engine on iTunes. Instagram also made me remove the link from my bio so people can't get a copy of the track. They're scared of me. What they're really scared of, Jimmy, is the fact that this might work. They have lost, apparently, to some numbers that have been estimated, since Target made this decision, $9 billion in stock value because the corporate suite mixed its professional duties with their personal agendas, which includes pushing transgenderism. Why are you getting into that, Target? You shouldn't be. Anybody. The Target website is praising the brand marketing vice president, saying that he leads the Target brand stewardship and campaign development for various initiatives. And also he moonlights, they don't have it on their website, but he moonlights as a board member of an advocacy group for K through 12 transgenderism. He's on the board of a group that is pushing transgenderism for those K through 12. Again, I ask you, you can have your views as an adult, that's fine, but you keep it in the adult space. You do not begin to protrude it and put it in the front of children who are walking and toddling along with mom or being pushed in a stroller right in their faces and going through some of the aisles. One of the major stores, I can't recall now if it's Target or Walmart, has decided they're no longer going to have a boys and girls section. Just not going to have it. I don't know what they're going to do with toys, probably. Also, not a boys and girls. You don't want to just have dolls over here and cars over here because girls might like the cars and boys might like dolls. G.I. Joe is a doll. But that's not looking at it that way for many of the kids, nor their parents. But the core customers I'm reading in this report, this one is on Breitbart, by the way. I always try to give you sources. Don't try to mislead you. Say that the core customers of Target is married suburban moms, and they're now mobilizing against Target. If Target shareholders lost $9 billion in stock market value already, you look at what happened to Bud Light. You look at what happened to Miller Lite when they decided to kick aside women in bikinis and so forth and mock them. Where do you want to go with all this stuff? A lot of folks saying, you know what, I'll just go somewhere else. This has just become the woke agenda, which has to be shoved in your face. If you're an adult, you'll deal with it one way or the other. But children have such an absorbent mind, and they can't really make a lot of decisions at this point. So apparently the corporations that have gone woke said, we'll make the decision for them. We'll start shoving them in that direction. It's like herding cattle. You get them headed into the pen and just keep moving. Keep on moving. That's what they're going to be trying to do. I say we resist and fight at every turn. Every turn. Coming up, Trump wants to put an end to anchor babies, and my guest on Good, Bad, and Ugly on the Budget, and a soldier missing in action since Korean War comes home. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. When you want windows for your home or your business, I suggest you get premium quality windows, Renewal by Anderson. Give them a call, 1-877-WINDOWS, 1-877-WINDOWS, or visit the website and see everything, rbastl.com, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson has the nation's best warranty. Give them a call, 1-877-WINDOWS. 877-WINDOWS.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm chasing tail lights, straight as a crow flies, hunting just a standard country road. I've got a shotgun, it's riding shotgun, and we're both fixing to unload. Some
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Let's continue our discussion and a breakdown of the budget and budget compromise, as you'd say. There's nothing passed at this point. My guest is Joel Griffith, Heritage Economic Expert. Joel, glad to have you on board.
Hey, thanks for having me today, Larry.
Well, we've got a lot of things to cover in this time frame, and let me begin with a statement that I see that came out of the Heritage Foundation president, Dr. Roberts. And his statement is, and I'm reading his statement directly and then take your reaction, at a time when Americans are struggling to balance their budgets as the cost of gas, groceries, and child care continues to rise, Republicans had a real chance to protect families and fight sky-high inflation and interest rates by cutting government spending. Bottom line is, they didn't. Your response, obviously, to your president.
Yeah, this so-called budget deal is such a disappointment. If you look at the overall federal spending that's been proposed, we're actually very likely to see an increase in total federal spending, and that's because defense spending will continue to increase, entitlement spending will continue to increase. And here's, you know, the part that they're trying to market as a big win is on the discretionary non-defense spending. There's going to be a minuscule 0.8% reduction this coming year compared to last year. But remember, we have seen an enormous explosion in those government programs over the last few years. And this Republican proposal would actually leave that key component of non-defense discretionary spending at 30% higher than where it was during President Obama's final
budget. I want you to just restate that. 30% higher in discretionary spending?
Yes, exactly. The discretionary non-defense spending in the coming year under the Republican proposal would still leave that spending category approximately 30% higher than it was during President Obama's final budget that was approved by Congress.
So, all right, let me give some balance on this now. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich is one of the first ones that applaud this and says this is a major victory for Republicans, and he's urging House GOP members to vote for the bill. His statement in an op-ed on stating Republicans win on the debt ceiling, and here's why they should support it. When you hear complaints from some on the right, remember they're arguing for a mythical belief. Somehow they think defeating this agreement would improve things. They could hardly be more wrong.
You know, sadly, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors in this. I mean, if you look at the overall spending proposed for 2024, it's likely to actually be higher in total than in 2023. And the only category that really is even slightly reduced is that one category, which is the non-entitlement component, is a slight reduction, 0.8%. That's barely discernible. And it still leaves those spending levels much higher than where they were just a few years ago. Remember, we're coming off of this explosion in federal spending, supposedly to counter COVID. And unfortunately, this deal would end up leaving a lot of that spending in place. This does almost nothing to alter the long-term trajectory that we are on towards fiscal insolvency. And some of the benefits that they're touting, such as the long-term reductions over the next 10 years, look, future Congresses are not bound by that agreement. Next year, the next Congress could actually undo that supposed agreement. And something else to keep in mind with this is that the debt ceiling overall, it's not just that they're raising it, they're actually having an unlimited debt ceiling that will not be reevaluated until 2025. And, you know, what's really interesting with that is that they put that date, I believe, at January 1st, 2025. Well, think about that. We're going to have a lame duck Congress. We're going to have a lame duck president. And we're going to give that Congress, that lame duck Congress and lame duck president that will be in place for the next 3 weeks before the new president is sworn in, we're going to give them the opportunity now to lift this debt ceiling once again. That is absolutely preposterous.
All right, for the folks listening, I know there are a lot of numbers being thrown around. I'm not faulting you, sir. You're giving details of facts that we need, but it is hard to follow to some extent. Let me narrow down a couple things. Once you mentioned the COVID spending, McCarthy says, I'm really happy because we're going to have a COVID clawback. We're going to pull all that money back. Now, does that sound good? Let's begin just with that one point.
Well, hey, without a doubt, that COVID spending should be clawed back. I mean, that's wonderful that they'll cancel out that planned spending. However, money is fungible. And so when you look at the overall spending, that's what I'm concerned with. And the overall spending in 2024 will be a net increase relative to the prior year. And that's the bottom line on this.
All right. Another bottom line that he's made a big deal out of. Hey, we're not going to let them have all that money they want for IRS agents hiring more agents. It doesn't say that they're taking money necessarily from the IRS directly. I mean, they can use the money as they choose. So that doesn't really put a stop to that. Am I correct or wrong?
No, you're correct. This new agreement essentially leaves untouched that Biden slush fund for 87,000 new IRS agents. It reduces it only slightly. So what's, 75,000 new agents versus 87,000? There's still going to be tens of thousands of new agents harassing small business owners across the country.
Again, DeSantis, I was quoting earlier, he's already ripping it. It's totally inadequate. Have you seen anything specific from Trump so far?
So far, I have not. Maybe I missed something, but we do know that President...
I've been looking for that, too. Now, that's why I brought it up, just in case I'd missed it. DeSantis says it's totally inadequate and agrees with you guys for the most part. But the approach and push by McCarthy is this deal cuts more than $2.1 trillion in spending, the largest deficit reduction bill in history. Is that a lie?
Well, here's how they're coming up with that number. They are figuring that future Congresses will actually abide by the terms of the proposal going forward. And here's what you got to keep in mind here. When they talk about a $2.1 trillion cut, that's not in any way a real cut. The agreement itself has in place that says after this 0.8% cut in one budget category, that in future years, that'll increase actually by 1% each and every year. So they're saying, oh, we're only going to increase that spending by 1% per year. And if prior estimates were that it was going to increase by 3% per year, that is somehow a spending cut. Now, none of us would operate our own budgets like that. If I'm making $100,000 this year or spending $100,000 and I'm estimating that I'm going to spend $110,000 next year and I have a conversation with my spouse and we say, hey, let's go ahead and only spend $108,000 next year. Is that a $2,000 spending cut or is that really an $8,000 spending increase? But of course, politicians never like to look at things that way because
they don't have to argue with your spouse, apparently. Now, put it this way, too. Again, back to comments and reaction from Gingrich, which was, again, I mean, he and Reagan had the attitude, and I'd mentioned to the audience earlier, when you get into these things, if you get 70 to 80% of what you want, if you only get 70%, take it and run with it, then you come back for more. So that doesn't mean everything is off the table. But the other deal that's still in play is, where is this going to go when it comes to vote if you've got some Republicans already upset and Heritage Foundation's coming out with this attitude? Are you going to sink what they've got here and push the nation into default?
Well, hey, look, now, number one, it's one thing if you're actually getting 90% or 80% or 70% of what you wanted. But this is getting, I would say, less than 5% of what we actually wanted. The original proposal that Republicans had placed for the Limit, Save, and Grow Act, that would have actually reduced spending, real spending, by $4 for every dollar increase in that debt limit. What do we have in place now? We're going to see an actual spending increase overall in 24, and we're going to even see that one component that they're doing a slight reduction in, we're going to see that increase by 1% per year after next year. And that's if future Congresses actually abide by this, which I would say chances are very low.
Before I have to cut you off because we're coming up against a hard break, very quickly, the Congressional Budget Office again says that the deal will amount to more than $2.1 trillion in spending cuts. McCarthy's copying that line, basically. That's the CBO. Do you agree or not?
I disagree because the CBO is suggesting that future Congresses would actually abide by this agreement, and they have no legal obligation to do so.
All right, so that's like your children are going to do what you tell them to every time. Hey, listen, Joel, I appreciate it very much, sir.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
You bet. Joel Griffin of the Heritage Foundation. Yeah, there are a lot of big questions yet to be resolved on this. And then, of course, we also have coming up more on Trump. Take a good look at your lawn. You're probably going to find some issues. That's when you contact Allen Outdoor Solutions. They have a solution for everything. Steve and his team are experts in irrigation, landscaping, outdoor lighting, lawn care for home or business. Visit the Allen Outdoor Solutions website. You'll be amazed at the beauty and quality of work. Get a free quote, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com, or call 314-647-4800, 647-4800. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof. You're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, they used to make a living off a bathtub gin. When the hippie showed up, weed was in. Well, they profit off a weakness and they always have. Now meth is a recipe for cold hard cash. Something's cooking and it just ain't right. Hell's kitchen gonna burn tonight.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My order will also end their unfair practice known as birth tourism, where hundreds of thousands of people from all over the planet squat in hotels for their last few weeks of pregnancy to illegitimately and illegally obtain U.S. citizenship for the child, often to later exploit chain migration to jump the line and get green cards for themselves and their family members. It's a practice that's so horrible and so egregious, but we let it go forward. At least one parent will have to be a citizen or a legal resident in order to qualify. We will secure our borders and we will restore our sovereignty starting on day one.
That is President Trump in an announcement, part of a new campaign release, that he's going to make sure that we put a cap and a stop on illegals coming into this country. And one of the things he mentioned then is the pregnant women that come here to the States from foreign countries. They get here for the last month and a half of their pregnancy, and then they wait for the baby to be born. And if the baby is born here in the U.S. of A., they become a U.S. citizen. As you heard him say, what I want to do from day one is say, if that's going to happen, then one of the parents has to already be a U.S. citizen. Anchor baby is a term that is often considered by many to be pejorative, a slur, a slander. It's basically that the mother that has a child in that country, the child has a birthright to that country. Other members, therefore, can gain citizenship through that one child later on. That's what they call chain migration. The American citizen under jus soli, which is basically giving the guarantee in the 14th Amendment of our Constitution, is one way to get a baby to become a U.S. citizen. We know that many have come across the border illegally already. We know that. They came across and they were pregnant at the time and have since had their babies here. But again, when you're looking at any pathway to get to this country, for you or your future family, many have been using that. And it's not just those coming across the border illegally. Let me stress that. It is not just those coming across the border illegally. There are those that come from maybe very wealthy families, or at least have the money by and means to leave China if they want to. I don't know if that's happening all the time with China nor Russia, but they certainly could. We know Russian oligarchs have reportedly been, from time to time, getting a mother, either a wife or a daughter, to the U.S., putting them up in a nice hotel in Miami until they have the baby, and then that child is now an American citizen. And other countries should do the same thing if they can get here. It's basically called birth tourism, and that's the way it's sold, by the way. Birth tourism, that's the way it's sold to a lot of those who are taking advantage of it. They're told that, look, if you will go to the USA and have your baby there, then you do know that that baby then will become a U.S. citizen. And they will. But, of course, in the midst of all of this, too, when we start looking at how many illegals we already have, but You have to differentiate again between those who illegally enter the country and have broken our laws to do so, to those who have used the laws that we have existing, that if they can have a baby here, that baby becomes a U.S. citizen. Did they enter the country illegally? Or did they come with a passport from another country just to have the baby here? Therefore, they would also probably hold dual citizenship if they're taken back to their other country. They'll probably be given that as well. That's not that uncommon, but unfortunately, it's been, right now, it's been abused to a large extent. We currently, under our U.S. immigration policy, the Nationality Act, we currently grant up to 675,000 plus permanent immigration visas each year. Each year. So there's a legal way to get in. And keep in mind, there are a lot of those still on that list, but they can't come in now because we're so tied up with the illegals coming in. Now imagine if you have a relative who is in Italy or Argentina, wherever, they've been on the list waiting for that opportunity to become one of those 675,000. They may be dropped at this point. And, of course, we already hear from the so-called sanctuary cities. We're a sanctuary city. We're a sanctuary state. Welcome you. And yet when busloads are sent from Texas and or Florida, Arizona, and to New York City, enough, we can't handle anymore. Well, I thought you wanted to be a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state. And the new mayor, Eric Adams, is then pushing them off on buses to go north of New York City into towns that they don't want them either. Well, your whole state's supposedly a sanctuary state. I love it. I love it when things like that turn around and bite them in the butt. I love it. And all the rats are rushing off the ship now, but they don't know what to do about it because they created it. And they allowed it. They got Biden to stand up there on the stage and said, yep, I'll be all for that too. I'll be for opening up the border. In other words, have no border. If you do a search, and I just did it because I want to see what kind of reaction I get. How many immigrants are in the U.S. legally? My question was not that. My question was, they changed it on me. My question was, how many illegals are here? The first answer that comes up, the U.S. is home to more migrants than any other country, more than 45 million, 13% plus of the U.S. population. They're talking about legal mixed in with illegal. Of course, Mexico tends to be or had been our top number coming in, according to the Pew Research Center. But when you come to undocumented immigrants, one of the last reports showing around 2020, 10.5 to 12 million. And I think that number is way, way low. By the way, we have, speaking of how things are going in for various mayors in Chicago, we had a number of shootings over the weekend, 50, 10 of them fatally, during the new mayor, Brandon Johnson's first Memorial Day weekend as mayor. 12 shot, 3 fatally on Friday night and into Saturday morning, and then hours later, more were added. Why? Because they elected another type progressive. Also, I have a story here I want to share with you about how the Washington Post has basically was tipped off by climate activists that they were going to vandalize an art display at the National Gallery of Art, but they let the Washington Post know in advance they were going to do it. In other words, they wanted the publicity, and the Washington Post was more than glad to oblige. Coming up, I want us to take some time and listen again to President Biden as he delivered the memorial at the National Arlington Cemetery. It's worth noting that, and also the story of a vet who finally comes home to rest 70 years after he went missing in action.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Ready for a fine dinner of lobster, crab, fish? Napoli Sea will open June 1. on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. So mark your calendar. Napoli C opens June 1. If you're in the mood for pasta, Napoli 3 is right next door, and it's open for lunch and on Sundays. You can find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and starting June the 1st, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
155 years ago, retired Union General James Garfield spoke here at Arlington, marking our nation's first Memorial Day. Standing amid rows and rows of marble stones, many of his own fallen soldiers among them, he asked, "What brought these men here? What high motive led them to welcome death?" And he answered his own question. He said, "Our nation's life."
Our nation's life. I do hope over the weekend that while you enjoyed the long weekend with family, friends, ball games, cookouts, everything, that you did take time to remember why and how you're able to celebrate that. As I mentioned on a piece I put up at Larry Connors USA Facebook and on my private Facebook, I was just led to restate again something that always comes to mind for me. When you have an anniversary of this type and looking back on those who served and did not come home, that's, keep in mind, that's what Memorial Day is. That's not for all vets. That's for those who perished in duty to their country. I'm not saying you don't still honor everyone, but that date is specifically set aside for those who died in service to their country. We also have a piece of news that came out of the other day that we should be welcoming. There was a Pensacola soldier who was killed in the Korean War more than 70 years ago. Been missing. He returned home to his state Friday morning, his remains. He'd been missing since July 12, 1950. He was 19 at the time. His unit was in Korea near the Kum River, and they were being overrun. They laid him to rest, the remains, over this Memorial Day. They have decided, after an investigation of exactly what happened, based on reports of some that were survivors and were able to testify. Apparently, he was with his unit fighting off numerous North Koreans, communist Koreans, charging their position. He was gravely wounded, but he kept fighting. He was throwing all the grenades he had at some trucks coming that had more troops and more munitions for their soldiers. And when he ran out of the grenades he had, he crawled and got some others, sometimes from bodies of other soldiers, and was throwing those. This is a 19-year-old. A 19-year-old. That's what we need to remember, that greatest generation that did exist and should again. And then when his commander decided, "We can't hold the position anymore, pull back," he stayed in position on a machine gun, continuing to fire at those approaching, estimating 70 or more killed, to protect his troops as they were leaving, because he knew he could not go with them. He was already wounded too badly, but he could man the machine gun. And he fired and he fired and he fired until he ran out of bullets with that, and then he grabbed another weapon. And, of course, eventually, he could do no more. I got word over the weekend about a woman's daughter who is going through her final days of boot camp to become a Marine. I know her mother's worried about her. I understand that. But I told her, I said, if she made it this far, she'll make it. And when she does, I want to be able to say, Semper Fi. There are still young men and women who are willing to go out and serve our country. Thank God. And thank God for this Korean soldier finally got to come home. Ethel Whatley. Welcome home, sir. Welcome home. Job well done. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.